We'll be in Jeremiah this afternoon in chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. And we'll begin with reading the chapter. It's about 19 verses, but well worth reading to get the flow of the message and to see what's going on here. Jeremiah chapter 35. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, who was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink wine. But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, and ye may live many days in the land where ye be sojourners. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, of our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, Come, and let us go into Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, for unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rise early in speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after the other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me, because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their fathers, which he commanded them. But this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me. And this is the reading of chapter 35. Let us pray. Loving Father, we do thank you for the example given to us here by the Rechabites, that they obeyed the command of their father, and they did those things which were required of them. And pray, Father, that you would also instruct us, according to the word of God, why Judah must be judged, why Judah had sinned in its ways before the Lord and brought upon it certain destruction. Lord, that you may minister to us of those things in the word of God, that we may see the importance of obedience to the faith of our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we have a wonderful example to us. We find that chapter 35 happened about 10 or 15 years, it is thought, before this period of time when it is recorded here. As you check the record, you will find that Jonadab reigned before Zedekiah. And so it is that in the chronological order of things, this is a little bit out of place. But in the prophet's desire to set forth an example of true faith and obedience, it falls right where the inspiration of the scriptures desired for it to come. And so we find here that there is an important lesson to be gleaned from the word of God. Several areas we'll look at this afternoon. First of all, the title of the message, which I have entitled, We Are Sojourners and Pilgrims. Now, as far as the Rechabites were concerned, they were just that. They were a kind of nomadic people, and they came from the line of Jethro, who was a brother-in-law to Moses. And we find that Jonadab gave this command unto the Rechabites, that they should be nomadic type of people. But we'll get into that in a moment and why that became significant. First of all, a test was given unto the Rechabites of obedience. We find that the Lord used this example through Jeremiah to set forth to the people of Judah that they were not obedient to the Lord their God. But yet the Rechabites, in this small matter, which it seems, and custom unto them, were most faithful and most obedient, and because of that, God blessed them and said that there would not fail a man to stand before the Lord because of their obedience and faith. Therefore, we find that obedience and faith is significant to our walk with God. And we also note in particular that this kind of obedience led to a greater obedience, one that God admired, that they were a people who did not quickly cast aside the commandment of their own father, who, if you remember, a promise of blessing was to honor your father and mother, and you would find plenty of prosperity and long days in the land. Yet we find that Israel was negligent in just the very simple customary areas of obedience, which reflected the obedience to the Heavenly Father. Secondly, we find that Jonadab, the son of Rechab, commanded that they should drink no wine. Now, we might say, first of all, that wine was not forbidden for them to drink. But they would not drink it, because they received the commandment of their earthly father to not drink it. Some people today, you know, they will kind of say disparaging things about people who do not want to drink alcohol. And they will make various comments and say, well, you're just not with it. They will say, well, social drinking isn't wrong. They will say, there's nothing in the Bible says that you can't drink. They will just go on and on and on, trying to defend their various positions about why they should drink, and they want to drink, and they're going to drink, and there is no problem with drinking, and so on and so forth. But we find from this particular principle here, God admired them for being truthful to the commandment of their earthly father, and to not drink was very much accepted with God. And so we find that even from the argument of from the less to the greater, we find that this argument is one that stands before God if one should say that they want to abstain from something like alcohol. But there's another part of this story which we will get to in just a few moments. Thirdly, do not build a house, sow seed, or plant vineyard. As we look at verse 7. Well, why this sense of not doing any of these things? Well, as we note the particular idea or occupation of the Rechabites, it was to be a nomadic people. Nomadic people, they seem to travel throughout the land, wherever the fields were the greenest for their sheep to graze, wherever they could find water for their goats or their sheep, wherever they could enjoy the blessing and the prosperity of the land itself. And it also said about the Rechabites that they were not putting down any permanent roots, but rather they were trusting in God. And so what do we find that Judah did? You may remember the story of Abraham and Lot. What did Abraham want to do? He maintained his nomadic lifestyle of living in a tent, of raising his clan, of having sheep and goats, and in other words, enjoying the blessings of what God prospered them with. But what did Lot want to do? He wanted to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. He wanted to dwell in a house. He wanted to have the benefits of the world. He wanted to enjoy the prosperity of worldly living. And so it was that he was not resting in true faith and trust in God, else he would have followed in the same precepts of Abraham. And so we find that this particular lifestyle that the Rechabites followed was one which was ingrained in them from their father, that they would be a people that would trust in God and that would live within the nomadic lifestyle of which they were brought up, and they would follow the customs and the precepts of the family, and they would honor God as they did it. Fourthly, he says that you may dwell in tents, live many days, and be pilgrims or sojourners, as it is, in the land. Now we find that the idea of sojourning is to be a stranger in a sense that you don't put down roots anywhere in particular, and that you are constantly moving and that you are trusting God. And if we might use the allegory of Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim uses the same allegory of being one who is traveling, one who is a pilgrim, one who is sojourning in this world, and one who is not putting down roots so solid that they seem to be more embedded in the world than in that city which God had promised to Pilgrim. Pilgrim was to be on the road, and he was to be traveling, and he was constantly setting his goals toward heaven. If we might draw any kind of a simple spiritual truth from this for ourselves, it would be that in this world we find that there is nothing very lasting. The things that you sow get eaten up. The things that you plant go through various seasons, and there is different harvests, but you can't keep any of that very long. The houses you build, though they be great houses, or you build bigger barns, we find that Jesus said those who would build bigger barns will hear eventually, your soul is required of you tonight, and you leave your barns behind. In fact, Solomon wrote a whole book called the Book of Ecclesiastes to say the same thing. You can build your palaces, you can build your barn, you can plant your fields, you can grow your vineyards, you can do everything that you want to in this world, but you will leave it to somebody else. And so it is good not to hold on to this world too tightly, because one day it will be taken from you and you will not have the benefit of those things anymore. And as we know in the New Testament, that Jesus recommended to us and said, it is better for to lay up our treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. And so we find that this whole message about the Rechabites is one which translates very easily into our own Christian life, that we should trust in God, that we should be obedient to Him, that we should rest in those things that are more permanent instead of in those things which are more temporary and more temporal. And then lastly, which I didn't put this particular notation on there, but it is this, Judah failed to obey the word of the Lord, their God. But the Rechabites, who, if we argue from the lesser to the greater principle, in this particular case, we find that the Rechabites, they did not neglect to obey their own father, who commanded them to be nomadic people, to not drink wine, but to set their focus on other things, such as the benefits that God might provide daily or weekly or monthly within the framework of their labor and their work, which God could prosper. And so we find that this particular chapter has within it a very good moral for us as Christians. Well, let's look at some of this as we move through here, verses 1 through 6. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying. So here we find that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. So let us first of all set forth the principle that God was going to use this particular case as a matter to teach as an object lesson to Judah. Now God does that, of course. He uses, sometimes he uses particular things that are in life to teach us something about how we are to live and why we are to live a certain way. And perhaps you would think, well, this is a pretty small case. The clan of the Rechabites evidently were not too populous, but they were a clan. They probably came from the Midianite descent, as Jethro. They seem to go all the way back to Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. And we find that they were nomadic people. In other words, they were not particularly of any significance other than that they were a clan in Israel. And, you know, sometimes we put a little significance on us as being Christians. Sometimes we say, well, we don't have much power. How can we influence people? We say, well, we don't have much money. We say, well, I don't have a big bank account. I don't have big possessions. We live more simply, and we trust in God. All of these kinds of things, and people in the world would say, oh, they're of very little significance, those people. I mean, after all, look at Bill Gates, look at Warren Buffett, you know, look at Rupert Murdoch, look at some of these people in the world that are billionaires. Now, they are really something. And isn't it true that when somebody wants to impress someone, they always raise up some celebrity, or they'll raise up some person of great influence, and they will take them and they will set them up and they will say, oh, look at this person. They are so great and they're so magnificent and they've contributed so much, and on they go. But I'd like to point you that God uses the base things of the world. He uses the insignificant things of the world to show His power and His might. In fact, He counts the wisdom of this world as nothing. In fact, he says that he sets upon the circle of the earth and he laughs at the nations because they rage against him. God chose out the Rechabites for his own purpose and for his own glory, and which means to us that God can use us also for his own purpose and his own glory. We should not think in any way that we are so insignificant that God is not using us, or could not use us, or would not use us, but he does use his own people. We should also remember that God has chosen his people to be used. Here we find the Rechabites were being chosen of God to be used to, in effect, to embarrass and to show the unfaithfulness of the whole nation of Israel. The whole nation. Millions of people inhabited within the nation of Israel and Judah. The whole nation. God was going to use this little clan to say to them, you are unfaithful to your heavenly Father. Yet here is one little tribe which has proved itself faithful in the word that they have received. And because they have proved themselves faithful in this little thing, I will bless them in a greater thing. Now that is important when we stop and think about how God blesses people. In verse 2, he says, go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Now, this was in the temple, but it was in one of the ante rooms off to the side. Not directly in the temple proper, but in a little ante room off to the side. There were rooms on both sides of the temple. And in one of these rooms that was set aside for use by the priests, Jeremiah goes in and he sets up these pots full of wine. He sets these cups in there and he calls forth the Rechabites to come in, and he sets them down and he gives them a test. And the test is that of obedience. He says, will you drink wine if I tell you to drink it? I will tell you to drink wine. Now, in this particular case, so here is a prophet. Here is a prophet saying this to these people. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel pressured to do something? You ever been in a situation where as a Christian, you feel like, they just asked me to do something. I don't want to do that. I don't think that is right. And for just a half a second, you think, oh, maybe I just ought to do it, you know. But here are the Rechabites standing in front of this prophet. And I doubt that the Rechabites knew what the test was. I doubt that they knew what was in the mind of the prophet. God didn't probably go to the Rechabites first and say, I'm going to tell Jeremiah to tell you this, but, you know, I just want you to be aware of this ahead of time. No. Now, Jeremiah invites them in. They're his special guests. He is the prophet of the Lord, and he tells them to do something. And what did they do? They're above all things obedient to the command of their father and honor the father's name. And so they would not drink. And so as we read on here, he says in verse 3, then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and all the house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the sons of Igdaliah, and Igdaliah was a man of God, says so right here. And so we have Jeremiah, he's a man of God. We have Igdaliah, he's a man of God. We have these other people there that are mentioned, and now the Rechabites. And even the doorkeeper to the temple, and it is believed there was like maybe three different doorkeepers to the temple, and this. So there was a prominent figure. These were all prominent people, in other words, significant people to the temple. And so it was going to mean that the Rechabites were going to have to sit in front of these prominent people, these important people, these leaders in Judah, in Israel, and they were going to have to say something to what was being asked of them. Were they going to waver? Were they going to vacillate a little bit? Were they going to somehow just say, oh, well, it doesn't matter, I guess I would. What were they going to do? And so they were brought in together. In verse 5 he says, "And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink wine." And we notice what the response is. Even in the face of all of this pressure that they're under, this peer pressure, and many people cave in on peer pressure, you know. And what did they say? But they said, "We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons, forever." Forever. You know, to stand up to your peers around you and to say you're not going to do what everybody else accepts, that's a pretty tall order. We think about the world today and the pressure that the world puts upon Christians. Oh, your music is outdated. You really ought to have some more contemporary music. Something with a little beat to it, you know, a little kick. It isn't quite, doesn't quite cut it anymore, you know. That psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that you talk about in the scripture, let's give it a little kick. You know, those people who perform in the church, you know, they really don't do much. All they do is play the piano, and the people sing a hymn every now and then. We need some celebrities. We need someone to really make this place chime a little bit, you know, something that the world will set up and take notice. Maybe we could have a few baseball stars and football stars come and give a good word. You know, after all, their Christian faith is so well known, yours means nothing. To say nothing about the political environment we live in, and as Christians, what we are expected to swallow hook, line, and sinker as if it was a direct word from God that we should accept what is going on. Well, I'd like to tell you, the people who stand up to the word of God in the midst of peer pressure, like the Rechabites, become those people that are not only honoring to God, but are honored by God. And there is a big difference. And the Rechabites did not waver. Though the doorkeeper of the temple stood before them, and he was an important figure, though a prophet stood before them, and he was an important figure, though Igdaliah stood before them, and he was a man of God, and known to be a man of God, and even the scripture says he was a man of God, and though these other people were there as well, they would not say anything more than what they had been told to live by as being Rechabites of that clan and of their father, and their way of life has stood them for many generations since the time of Moses. And they were going to be true to what they had been taught. You know, it is good for Christians to be true to what we are taught. Arguing from the lesser to the greater, how much more important are the doctrines and teachings of the Word of God which we have been taught? How much more important those are than the teachings of the world, than the pressure that is often put upon us, than those things which people like to do to say, well, you're just out of step with time and you're not relative anymore. You don't relate to people anymore. Well, if we don't relate to people anymore, it's only because they're not listening. It's because they have blind eyes and deaf ears. is because they have so deep in their own sinful way of life that they do not heed the word of God. That we are only irrelative to them simply because they have chosen to obey their own will rather than the word of God. And we find that the Rechabites would not bow to the whim of anyone, even if a prophet should speak before them. We might be reminded of the scripture that says, though a man or an angel or any other come to you and preach some other gospel unto you, we know no other gospel but that gospel which was delivered to us by the apostles and prophets. We will not preach another gospel. We will not preach another word of God. We will not bow to any that proclaim to us that somehow we have become irrelevant in a society which has become godless. No, the Rechabites said exactly what they should have said. And every time that the world tries to push us into a situation or pressure us, or the peers of our own culture try to motivate us to do other than what the Word of God says, we must not relinquish, but we must stand our ground, and we must say, no, we will not do this or that. We will obey the command of our Heavenly Father. We will live true to the Word of God. And even as the Rechabites did, they wanted to live true to the Word of their earthly Father, and that God would reward them and say, I will bless you because of that. Because the way you're living in your worldly life as Rechabites is not in some way corrupting my word as the word of God. In other words, they were living pretty close to where God wanted them to be. Otherwise, God wouldn't have blessed them. And so we find that the Rechabites were to be blessed by God. And the Rechabites went on to, of course, say that verse 7, neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be sojourners. Well, here we find that there is an application even for this in our lives. And it is this, that even as the Rechabites decided to be true to the commandment of their earthly father, we not only should be true to the commandment of our heavenly father, but we should remember that the kinds of things that are often a part of the world are not necessarily to be a part of our lives. I remember some years ago there was a little track that was in the church track rack, and it basically said this: others may, but you may not. Others may, but you may not. And it kind of outlined some things, you know, that were in those gray areas of life. And as Christians, we find that there are many of those things that can separate us from the world if we will live separated lives from the world. And the Rechabites were living separated lives. They were completely identified by this parameter of life and custom which they had took upon themselves. They were identified by it. And this very example says that they were identified by it because they were chosen out by God to be the example to Judah why Judah was being unfaithful. I think it is good that as Christians, our lives should set forth some kind of an example like that. And the Rechabites did. And so we ought to remember that our example can be as significant. Verse 8, thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all the days of our lives, all the days we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters. Nobody was exempt, you notice. Nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyards, nor field, nor seed. So basically they had goats and sheep. They lived in tents, and they were a nomadic tribe. And so they lived by their particular agriculture, if you would, but they completely were unfettered by the things of the world. They were unfettered by the things of the world. I think as Christians, we have a difficulty there. And it's tough, you know, in the world. How do we shed ourselves of the kind of chains that the world wants to trap us in? And as Christians, I think many times we do struggle with that, and we should, because we know there are many who have bought into the materialism of society and the particular goals of society. But somehow, the most important thing for a Christian is not only to know the Lord as our Savior, but it is to know where we are going and how we are getting there. And these Rechabites knew that. They knew where they were going and they knew how they were going to get there. And they were willing to do that. And verse 10, but we have dwelt in tents and had obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. So the task was given unto them, and they passed with flying colors. Also, as the test was given to them, they weren't afraid to set forth the principles whereby they would live. Another important little tidbit, isn't it? We should not be afraid to stand our ground. We should not be afraid to tell them the principles by which we live unashamedly. And we should also be courageous to say why we live the way we do. And that's what the Rechabites did. And as we read on here in verse 11, we find that the other half of the story then is told. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come, and let us go to Jerusalem, for the fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for the fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. Now, even though this particular way of life was taken on by the Rechabites, they knew they had to be safe and when war was going on, and so they came into the city gates that they might be safe for while the siege was happening against them. In verse 12, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive the instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? And so Jeremiah now is told to go to the inhabitants of the city of Jerusalem and say, will you not heed the instruction of the word of the Lord? Here the Rechabites have received the instruction of their father. Will you not receive the instruction of the word of God, who is much greater? Remember, the argument is from the lesser to the greater here. Verse 14, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obeyed their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. Jeremiah says, God sent me, and we didn't come at the last minute. The prophet was not sent at the last minute to tell you. The prophet was sent early. The prophet was sent aforetime. The prophet was sent to warn. The prophet was sent to tell you to turn from your way. Verse 15, But I have sent unto you, also unto you, all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, repent, return, now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. They not only didn't listen to the word of the Lord, they didn't turn from their idolatries. He said, but I sent prophets as well. I sent Jeremiah, and I sent my servants. I sent the prophets to you, and I sent them before time, but you have not heard them. And here the Rechabites, only on this one occasion were they called to give account. And they were more than willing to say, no, we will not. We will obey the word of our Father. We will be true to what God has called us to through our Father. In verse 15, reading on, he says, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. In other words, Jeremiah said that the Lord gave you the same option. God has given you aforetime the warning. God has given you servants and prophets. God has told you aforetime that you would dwell on the land and be saved. God has said, I will turn away the destruction that is coming upon you. God has said, I will turn back Nebuchadnezzar and his great army that you may dwell safely in the land. But even so, they would not turn. Verse 16, because the sons of Jonadab, the sons of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. And the prophet reiterates, they have not hearkened unto me. Verse 17, therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. And I have called unto them, but they have not answered. He spoke unto them. He called unto them. He warned them. He sent his servants unto them. He sent the prophets unto them. He made clear the pronouncement against them, but they would not hear the word of the Lord, and they would not turn from their idolatries. And God says, neither then shall I turn from my judgment, which I have put upon you. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, our father, your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. God blesses those who are faithful in little, that they might be made faithful in much. But Israel could not be, it could not be said of Judah and Israel. It could not be said of them as a nation. Let us stand before the Lord in the little that God has given to us. Let us stand faithful in the little, that we might be faithful in the much. And God will bless us. Let us stand and be faithful, though everybody else says you should not do what you are doing, or somehow it is out of step with society, or somehow the culture has changed, or somehow they are saying that it is out of sync with time, or it is just too old-fashioned. Let us remember that God's word is the primary commandment which we are to seek and to obey and know and to be true to. And God will bless us insomuch that there shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. What a wonderful argument that the prophet gives here. We are sojourners and pilgrims. Let us carry our tents. Let us remember that we may have to be versatile to move about and to adapt in society in a way that honors God rather than dishonors Him. But we should never give up the precepts and the commandments of the Word of God as we travel as sojourners and pilgrims in this land, because we are headed toward the celestial city. We're headed toward the kingdom of God. Let us pray, shall we? Loving Father, we do thank you that you would bless us with this scripture here. Many practical helps can be seen from it. But the most is that we might be true to you and faithful and obedient to the word of God and the commandment of the Lord. And if it was important for the Rechabites to be true to their earthly father, how much more, Lord, should we be true to our heavenly Father, who offers us much more eternal things? We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.